Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we look forward this week to the beginning of Advent that will be coming. And we look forward to this week because God has so much in store for us, in store for you this Christmas. He has so much in store for you. Honestly, and I'm bold to say this, but honestly, if you live out what I teach on the four Sundays of Advent, that I'm going to be, the last week of Advent is only one day, but if those four Sundays, you can purchase the CD that I've been mentioning this last week, and I'll say more about that at the end of the program, and listen to my meditations on the four Sundays of Advent. Really listen. Play them, replay them. Maybe do it as a family. Maybe gather together with some friends if you have, or other relatives, and do it together to encourage you to live out this Advent, because it is short. It's the shortest Advent. It's 3 weeks and one day. But if you do, your Christmas will be better, it will be more rich, it will be more peaceful, it will be more joyful than perhaps you've ever known. At least in a long while, it will be more joyful and more peaceful for you. And I know this time in the year, it begins to pick up and things get very, very busy. And what I want to say to you is the most important thing you can do is allow God to accompany you during this Advent so that you honestly have a life that by Christmas Eve is prepared, perhaps better than ever before, prepared to receive Him. We're not commemorating, remember, we're not commemorating a past event. We're commemorating a present reality. With God, there is no time, there's no limits. God is. So if your heart is more disposed to receive Him, to make Him more the Savior of your life, not just at the end, but now, every day, you make Him more your Father, your Good Shepherd, you're going to know great peace. And there's nothing like peace. This world badly needs peace, but it doesn't just need a fleeting moment of peace. It needs a life of peace. Even if the turmoil rages outside your life, there's peace in your heart because you're united to God. He came because He knew that we couldn't do it on our own. He knew we would stray. So God our Father gave us His Son. Prepare your heart to receive Him this way, perhaps more than you ever have in past years. So let's take a look at the first reading, which is from Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 to 6, and then 8 to 20. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came and laid siege to Jerusalem. The Lord handed over to him Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and some of the vessels of the temple of God. He carried them off to the land of Shinar and placed the vessels in the temple treasury of his god, lowercase g. The king told Ashpenaz, his chief chamberlain, to bring in some of the children of Israel of royal blood and of the nobility, young men without any defect, handsome, intelligent, wise, quick to learn, and prudent in judgment, such as could take their place in the king's palace. They were to be taught the language and literature of the Chaldeans, and after 3 years' training, they were to enter the king's service. The king allotted them a daily portion of food and wine from the royal table, and among these were men of Judah, Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But Daniel was resolved not to defile himself with the king's food or wine, so he begged the chief chamberlain to spare him this defilement. Though God had given Daniel the favor and sympathy of the chief chamberlain, he nevertheless said to Daniel, I am afraid of my lord the king. It is he who allotted your food and drink. If he sees that you look wretched by comparison with other young men of your age, you will endanger my life with the king. And then Daniel said to the steward whom the chief chamberlain had put in charge of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. And then see how we look in comparison with the other young men who eat from the royal table, and treat your servants according to what you see. He acceded to this request and tested them for 10 days. After 10 days, they looked healthier and better fed than any of the young men who ate from the royal table. So the steward continued to take away the food and wine they were to receive and gave them vegetables. How much food, I'm not speaking literally now, but how much do you eat? How much do you consume? That is not of God. What do you watch on TV, on the internet? What do you read? How do you spend your, quote, spare time? Is God at the center of your life or not? Are you eating that which will kill you? To these four young men, God gave knowledge and proficiency in all literature and science, and to Daniel, the understanding of all visions and dreams. At the end of the time the king had specified for their preparation, the chief chamberlain brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. When the king had spoken with all of them, none was found equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and so they entered the king's service. In any question of wisdom or prudence which the king put to them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his kingdom. Do God's will, receive what God gives you, eat of his food, eat from his table, follow him, and watch how God blesses you. The responsorial psalm is from Daniel 3, and it's the glory and praise that they gave to God for God's protection of themselves. Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our fathers, praiseworthy and exalted above all forever. Blessed is your holy and glorious name, praiseworthy and exalted above all for all ages. Make this responsorial psalm, which is actually from Daniel chapter 3, they bless the Lord. How often do you bless the Lord? Thank the Lord. Mixed in with asking, of course, you bring your needs to him as well, but how much do you give him praise? How open are you to receive what God gives you rather than what the world, the flesh, and the devil, and your own selfishness tell you you want or you need? We need to take God's word and God's power, God's gifts, God's food to strengthen us for the journey he has us on. In the Gospel from Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4, when Jesus looked up, he saw some wealthy people putting their offerings into the treasury. And he noticed a poor widow putting in 2 small coins. He said, I tell you truly, this poor widow put in more than all the rest. For those others have all made offerings from their surplus wealth, but she, from her poverty, has offered her whole livelihood. You know, we can't see the motivation of everybody. We can't see why they do what they do. But it is true that many, many, many of us, me included, can do very good things for others for more selfish reasons. I want to be thanked. I want to be honored. It's selfish. It's terribly selfish. But oftentimes we do good things for the poor, good things for others in need, whatever their need might be. And we do it for the wrong reasons. I want to encourage you really encourage you as we come toward Advent here. I really, 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 I could say it six more times, really want you to pay attention to your motives. Pay attention to why you do what you do. And don't try to pick up every single motive. You'll get yourself tied in a knot. Look for the prevailing motive. Be honest with yourself. You don't have to, you know, write down every motive, but look at the prevailing one. It will often be a motivation that might be for the good of another, but it might also be for our own satisfaction, our own glory, so to speak. Do I have mixed motives? And if I do, I want to ask God to help me with that during this Advent season coming up, as I want my heart to be disposed in a way to receive him more deeply into my life than ever before. And if I just say, oh, Lord, thanks for being born for us, amen, there's nothing, there's no interaction. Or what kind of gifts am I going to give, or I don't have enough gifts for this person or that. The first question should be, what am I giving God on his birthday? What am I giving of myself to Christ? And it's something that we need to look at during Advent. That's very soon upon us. And as I said the other day, Advent is short this year. It's about the shortest it could be, 3 weeks in one day. So we have to get down to brass tacks right away. And I don't mean Advent to be a terrible burden to you. Advent is different than Lent. But I would say, you want to put what's first in God's heart first in your heart. What's first in God's heart, God the Father, is that you honor his Son, that you become more his disciple, that you follow him more closely. Are you willing to say to the Lord, I want to be more your disciple in this coming year than I have been up to this point? I want to be more clearly your son or daughter. I want your priorities, your values, not just to influence my life, but to take over my life. I want to be like you, and I want to follow you. Jesus was born for us so that we would not be afraid of him as a small baby. We can read his life on the face of this earth. He was like us in all things but sin. Big one. He always had his heart set on honoring the Father, always, in every way. But he lived our life in detail. He understands the burdens and the pain. And in addition, he was constantly being mocked and ridiculed as an adult. And still, not my will, but yours be done, Father. God so wants to shape us in his image and likeness. Jesus so wants to accompany us that when we stand before his judgment seat, it's revealed. This is a daughter of God. This is a son of God. That is obvious and it can be seen. Are you willing to walk that path? I ask that God, during this Advent, will give you the graces that you need to say yes to him as never before. May God abundantly bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.